Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long, taking you to 8 o'clock tonight. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's the host of the game on Tide 100.9, Ryan Fowler. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us tonight, bud. Charlie,
sorry for missing your joke, Ryan. I apologize.
Charlie missed the pop fly when he answered the phone.
Swinging a miss for me.
But that's cool. Ryan, before we talk basketball, I'll throw out the football stuff first. It's unusual now, as we're seeing these top teams in the SEC all sort of enter 2023, with the exception of LSU, Alabama, new quarterback, Georgia, new quarterback, Tennessee. We know a little bit about Joe Milton, but I don't know if I can grade him just off of one game because he didn't play well in 2021 early, and that's why he got benched. And then Hooker, it wasn't no technical knockout. It was a real live one. He took over afterwards. And you look across the board, Texas A&M, what's going to happen there at quarterback? And I don't know what the hell's going to happen at A&M with Petrino and Jimbo. But you look at it, LSU with Jaden Daniels coming back, how strong is that to get your starting quarterback back? And yet question marks all across the landscape in the SEC. Florida's going to have a new quarterback. Georgia, Alabama, most likely Auburn. you can kind of go down the line. I think Ole Miss will. There'll be another team. Tennessee will have Joe Milton. Now South Carolina returns their quarterback, and Mississippi State does. But, boy, you talk about that position and the unknown of it. If I'm a Tiger fan, I feel much better today than I did back in November or December.
Well, and you just brought it up, and I think if you go back and you start adding up, not just the quarterbacks, but look at the new coordinators that's in the SEC. So, you know, when you think about, you know, LSU, it's got to be a luxury. And listen, I'm highly impressed with Brian Kelly. I described coming from Notre Dame to South Bend, from South Bend to Baton Rouge, as a guy that's running with his weights on his legs. And when he gets to Baton Rouge, they take it off, because now he could be able to recruit that state, the region. Listen, when I made a prediction here, and Alabama fans don't like it when I remind them, I think Brian Kelly will win a national title in his first 5 years. I've only got four more to go. So I'm going to stick with that prediction. I just think he's that good of a football coach, and I think he's going to be a thorn in Nick Saban's side. And I just see it long term. Listen, Alabama's got some issues. They've got plenty of talent, but there's a lot of questions. I cannot remember a spring where you traveled in. First day of spring for Alabama was yesterday. There's a ton of questions around this Alabama football team. I know we're going to get into it. But you look at the players that's going into the NFL, there's a lot of, you know, even though this team did not accomplish their main goals last year, there's a ton of talent that will be departing from this team from last year. So I think that team did not get the job done, and I think we'll look back at it 10 years and say that was a failure on Nick Saban's part, and you have to put the blame at his feet.
The biggest moccasins, Bryce Young. No, you and I have talked about this. I'm telling you, the next guy, he ain't going to be in the zip code of Bryce Young. He's just not. Bryce was a rare talent. Okay, he's not a prototypical size guy. But, man, the way he can throw the football in between arms and hands, his accuracy skills, his ability to get away from pressure, to see a receiver that's not even open and he throws a ball out there and it's into the cut and the break. It's amazing to watch that little guy play. Alabama's really going to miss him. You know, I'm not trying to say it's going to be the same thing like LSU when Joe Burrow left, because I think there's so much more talent on Alabama's team today than what LSU had in 2020. And certainly Nick, you know, he is who he is. He's still the gold standard of coaches. But, man, Ryan, Bryce Young, he was a special football player at Alabama.
Yeah, he was one of the all-time greats when you look at a Heisman winner. But the offensive identity was him. I mean, it was Bryce Young. And, you know, as you said, trying to fill those shoes, you almost wonder if Nick Saban will go back to the beginning of his dynasty and go, okay, do we play a little smash-mouth football?
I bet
do we
he does.
Take pressure? Well, and see, but see, Mike, Nick Saban told us a fib. On August the 4th of 2022, he stood at that podium because I was there. And he said, we're going to go back to play action. We're going to go back to physical football. But the problem is once you make this decision to go finesse, you don't just snap your fingers and automatically go back to it. And I don't think Bill O'Brien was comfortable calling. He didn't trust that offensive line, for one. But it just – they did not feel – like an Alabama team. And listen, when I look at Bryce Young, it was the wasted opportunity. One of the all-time greats in Tuscaloosa, and he's going to walk out of here not winning a national title. To me, that's amazing. And where would this team be in the last couple of years without him? So you say all that, and you say, well, this team that lost two games this year, you would have probably lost Texas. Texas A&M, he didn't play. Jalen Milroe, you know, started the game because he got hurt against Arkansas. But, I mean, there's multiple games that they would have lost if it hadn't been for Bryce Young. So life without Bryce Young, it has to be tougher. So that's why everybody else is going to have to take up the slack. And you're just unknown about this Alabama football team. If you could answer the question and say, does Nick Saban run the football, then you could feel more comfortable. But I don't know if he's willing this. Maybe that's why he went and hired Tommy Reese. Maybe a physical, you know, approach, a little bit of pro action, the pro set. And, you know, we'll see if he's willing to go back there. If not, there could be some other bumps in the road in Tuscaloosa.
Do you think that Tennessee has now awakened? They've awakened the sleeping giant in the SEC. Because I think Josh Heupel's a great fit for there. His offense, the way they run it and throw the football downfield, but they ran the ball real well. That's what gets kind of overlooked here, is that they really ran the ball well last year, the Volunteers. That, man, if he get that quarterback situation straight, now defensively they, you know, had some ups and downs there, but I think Tennessee's back on track, Ryan. And that's not good for the other teams in the SEC.
Well, and if you're in the SEC West, and I know we're about to divide this up in pods or four teams or however we're going to do it with dividing it up East and West. But when I look ahead, you need somebody to play with Georgia, because right now they've kind of got it on cruise control. You know, they start in August, but really they don't play their
Ryan, look at that schedule. Look.
It's cupcake.
How easy it is.
God.
Look at the SEC West. I mean, it's every single week. Whoever comes out of this division is beat up time they get to Atlanta. So you almost want Tennessee to be back if you're the SEC Western team. So optimistically, you hope that Josh Heupel has got him clicking. And the thing about Tennessee is just keep your eye on this. The city of Nashville has exploded.
Yes, it has.
And really, the Southern California, there's a lot of transition coming in from California into Nashville. Like, I read a stat the other day with people that were moving from that region to Nashville. Tennessee needs that talent to continue to explode for the future of recruiting. Now, NIL has changed some of that. But when you look at the good years under Tennessee, they've had to go outside of that state to recruit. I think Josh Heupel is going to be able to do that. And I'm not saying they're going to have the year that they had this year, beating Alabama, snapping that 16-game winning streak against Alabama, or losing streak against Alabama. But if you're Josh Heupel, I'm buying stock in him. You're not going to get it at a low price, but you can get it at a medium price because I think it's going to continue. You're kind of pulling for it from the SEC Western perspective.
You know, what you brought up is an interesting point. Bobby Jay and I lived through it. Mid to late 70s, to see the explosion of the all-field business and how, I had neighbors around me from Texas, Ohio, Indiana, Oklahoma. They were in Louisiana because there were jobs here, And what you just brought up about Nashville sort of reminds me of that. On that state championship team Bob and Coach O played on, and they had people from Texas and Indiana and Kentucky that were on that team. It wasn't just all Cajuns from down on the bayou. There were a lot of them. But there were people that had migrated here because of the all-field industry and because it had really boomed in the mid to late 70s. And I think what you're saying is, can Tennessee now take advantage of this unbelievable shot of people now moving to Nashville and the Nashville area?
It's booming. It's booming. And listen, I've been up there a couple of times. The city, and it may be something that we keep our eye on for Major League Baseball. They may get a franchise. The NFL's been successful there. You look at hockey. I mean, who could have ever thought that NHL would explode this way, in this region? But it has up there. But you look at, the city of Nashville, because I think that's important to the Tennessee success. I mean, the Haslams have got tons and tons of money, which is big Tennessee boosters. So that'll help on the NIL front. But Tennessee is a program. I would say that they may not be completely awake, but they're not in REM sleep either. So they've moved that way, and it's a program, like I said, from an SEC Western perspective, you need somebody to compete with George, because I like Billy Napier. I just don't know if he can get it back on track at Florida. South Carolina, okay, what are they going to give you? 7-8 wins max, but you need somebody to play with Georgia if we keep the East and West divisions.
Ryan, I'm going to hop to college basketball for a minute here. Alabama, the number one overall seed in the tournament. The left side of the bracket is kind of broken up a little bit with a bunch of upsets. So this is a two-part question. One, how confident are Alabama fans that they'll make it not only to the Final Four but to the national championship game based on the fact that Purdue lost and Marquette lost and Arizona lost? All these top teams on their side of the bracket have all fallen in the first two rounds. And then the second thing is, which of those teams remaining, of those seven teams remaining on the left side of the bracket, scare you the most for an Alabama run at the final?
Well, you look at San Diego State, the way they play defense is going to be a physical approach. They're going to hit you in the mouth, but I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough points. Alabama has never been beyond the Elite Eight, never in the history of Alabama basketball. And we're talking about the second winningest program in the SEC, winning percentage, or you want to look at total wins, either one, both of them. Alabama's number two in the SEC. They've never been beyond the Elite Eight. They've only did that one time. Now, I think they've got nine Sweet 16s, 10 if you want to count the vacated one in 1987. This is their chance because, as you said, everything has happened now is a pathway for Alabama, not just to get to Houston, but to make it to that championship game.
Correct.
Now, you start looking across the bracket. You got Houston, which would love to have a revenge game against Alabama because Alabama beat them in their place back in December. You look at that. And then you look down at the bottom, it could be another revenge factor with Gonzaga because Alabama got beat by those guys in Birmingham. So you kind of got a little revenge factor there. Tennessee is at that bottom. You got to keep your eye out there. I think when you look at the South this weekend in Louisville, I think it would be a major upset if they don't make it to the Final Four, but that's hard to say with a program that has never been to a Final Four. This Alabama football fan base, they don't know how to act. I mean, listen. I mean, it's like, because anytime you mention Alabama basketball and you mention that word, national championship, you're like, hold on, whoa, is this really happening? Nate Oates has been able to do something pretty special in Tuscaloosa. When you look at two out of the last 3 years, the future is very bright for him.
I know one thing. Well, he irritated Will Wade to the utmost. And you know, we had Will on, the day he took over at McNeese. And so I asked him point blank, best team in college basketball. And he gave me this long pause. I took a look at Charlie because him and I were doing it that night. I knew exactly what he was going to say. He said, Mike, I hate to say it because I hate him, Alabama. And he said it real quick, but he was like, Mike, I hate to say it, but I hate them. Alabama, I think they're the best, and I think they'll win it all. And, you know, for Will, you know, there ain't much filter between his brain and his mouth. And so I get it with Will. He's going to tell you what's on his mind. You might not like it, but it is what it is with him. But he was really bullish on the Crimson Tide winning it all. Ryan, I want to ask you your feelings on how things were handled in this situation with Brandon Miller by University of Alabama, the athletic department, head coach, everything else. Because, man, from the outside looking in, this was sort of a cluster across the board here by Alabama. Your thoughts on it?
Well, and I'm going to try to give you a fair approach. This may sound like a homer in Tuscaloosa. Mike, there's many days that I'm embarrassed to be in the media. In the last month and a half, 2 months, because of this story, I've been more embarrassed to be in the media. The part of the matter is you had a player that was a part of your team that is in jail for capital murder. Now, we don't know. He'll get his day in court. You know, that part of it, you have to agree that he's been arrested and there's no bond, so he's going to remain in jail until they have another hearing. But the part around Brandon Miller has been stretched so much that it's everything that you hear, throw it out. It's like it's so far from the truth. And there's been several local writers that have went on this just negative campaign. And I don't really know what the purpose of it is, because when I look at Brandon Miller, I don't see this pattern that they tried to paint him as. I don't see him as this, you know, you would think this guy would just be a complete, you know, thug, a gangster. And when I'm around him, I don't see that behavior. I think this guy truly got caught in a bad situation. I don't think he knew. Listen, you go get the worst criminal in New Orleans or Tuscaloosa, they're not going to take a gun to the scene when they know that somebody's going to be killed. I look at Brandon Miller. There's a lot of things, the narrative that has been painted that I think is very unfair to him. And I think one of these days we're going to get and we've got some, you know, the Pat Fortys of the world, the Dan Wilkins of the world, the Joseph Goodman, which writes for a local, you know, paper here in the state. Those guys are one of these days going to read these stories, and they're going to go, man, we missed that one by a country mile. Darius Miles, the player that's in jail right now, negative. There's no way that you can make it into a positive. But what has been said about Brandon Miller has been unfair. And I think one day he's going to be able to get his story out there, and people are going to look back and go, man, they missed that. Because I don't think this kid was in the wrong – was he in the location – but I think we're going to learn a little bit more that the behavior that he's been painted is not him. Like I said, Darius Miles. But Alabama had some stumbling blocks. I think they would tell you that. But there was really no blueprint to go by. I mean, when you've got a player that's, you know, arrested for capital murder, you know, there is no, hey, let me go look at the PR book and go, okay, this is how you handle this. I think Nate Oates handled it very, very well.
I think of all of them, Oates did the best job.
Yeah, but there was so much misinformation. And in this media business, I love it. I love the interaction. I love meeting people. But in the last 2 months, I've kind of hung my head in shame because we're all grouped in together. And when people don't trust the media, that hurts all of us. And there's a lot of people, if you cover this story from a local perspective, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And one of these days, you know, we're going to learn that. And there's going to be a lot of eggs on a lot of people's face from a reporting standpoint.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Man, we really appreciate it. Great insights on Alabama football and basketball. And we got to do this soon again. Appreciate it, brother.
No, let's do it. Appreciate you guys. You guys have a great evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
So much. Ryan Fowler, host of the game on Tide 100.9. Him and I met a few years back in the press box at LSU. And Ryan was looking for a place to eat. Man, I said, well, you come to the right dude. We can take care of all that stuff.
There you go.
We can find some food for you on that campus of LSU real fast. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.